It's Bucky and Aaron.
This guy says, I looked her up. I would.
I mean, and she's older now. And let me tell you, she was a very, very beautiful young lady at that time, too. She was into pottery.
She's kind of a hippie.
No, she's not kind of a hippie.
She was a hippie.
Her hair under her arms was as long as the hair on Brad's head. I mean, and that was the, like...
Like she had hairy underpits?
I couldn't deal with the arm hair.
Seriously? That is so gross.
You know what I mean?
Kind
I just
tighten it up, Buttercup.
No! Chugging like a Duda man
once told me you got to pay your hand sometimes. Oh, my gosh. That's gross. In the year of the woman, which is a good thing, women with hairy armpits just not getting it done.
No.
And by the way, Draymond Green last night for Golden State probably went a little over the line. He got elbowed in the face.
Just get blood in his mouth.
Didn't get a foul. He got a tech. Got thrown out. His 13th tech of the year. But then the female official who threw him out, I think he dropped the B word.
Yeah, he could have gone, come on, dude, or come on.
It's probably going to be a problem.
Yeah. She kept saying, Draymond, get out of my face.
Yeah, she tried.
You know, that's not fair to bring that to bring those pictures up. That is not good.
Oh, I just Googled women with hairy armpits. What's wrong with that? That's so gross.
Pretty girls.
I know.
Just get a razor up in there.
Ew. Seriously? That is so gross.
That's disgusting. But hey,
just get a Harry's up underneath there.
To each his own.
No.
To each her own.
No. You're the woman. You're the cow. I don't care. Not like that.
It's her armpits, man.
Ugh.
BK.
Yeah, now there's a limit on to each his or her own, and that's where
is that
the
where
line
it stops right there?
Yeah.
No hair.
She can't have that.
Hey, you know what? It's natural.
I still respected Pam, even though she had hairy armpits. Even when she turned sideways, you could see the little hair sticking out.
That's why you were just cuddle friends, though, and not like...
That's true. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
That was the barrier.
Oh, that was it right there. That's a deal breaker no matter what, no matter how drunk I got.
40 years ago or today, man, that's a deal breaker.
Always. Always.
70s or 2000s, it doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sporting more bush than a Care Bear on your armpits, I'm not going to do that.
Speaking of that, the Longhorns in the mix for a wide receiver from shirts named Tommy Bush. We will check on that with our man Jeff Howe. What, is that wrong?
No, that's okay. That's his name.
Well, you know, you got to tie it all back together. Bring it back to National
Tighten
Signing
it up.
Day, which is
Tighten
today.
It
Tighten
up.
It up. We're talking to Jeff Howe, Horn 24/7 coming up. You hear him a lot here on the afternoon show. Arsha, he'll be a part of our Pluckers Roundtable this afternoon as well. Jeff will, as we analyze what goes down today. And let's get you started with the start the hour with the details of National Signing Day from the Ticket City Update Desk. Reliable Automotive in Buda and San Marcos bringing you those headlines of those guys. How about National Signing Day for college football? It's part two, though. This year, of course, was the first year with an early signing period before Christmas. Longhorns did very well, inked 19 prospects before the holiday. Today, Tom Herman and the Horns hope to land maybe 10 more, maybe more, as the Longhorns got a big one last night. Katy High School defensive tackle Moro Ojomo, one of the top remaining prospects on their board, announced he will sign with Texas. Ojomo's only 16 years old. Will graduate early, only be 17 when he enrolls at Texas, but has a high ceiling, according to all that have seen him. Marks the third consecutive day. The Horns have picked up a pledge, a big pledge on the way to signing day. Wide receiver Joshua Moore from Yoakum committed on Super Bowl Sunday. Offensive lineman Christian Jones from Houston Cy Woods committed Monday. And last night, it was Ojomo out of Katy. Class has now grown to 26 players. Texas hopes to get a commitment this morning from several others, including possibly Conroe Oak Ridge defensive end Joseph Osai. They'd also like to flip inside linebacker commitment to Arkansas, Andrew Parker. He's from New Orleans. Longhorns also in the top five for several others, including Schertz Clemens wide receiver Tommy Bush, who will decide at 10:30 this morning. Now, Texas is also very much in the mix for Rice graduate transfer and former Westlake Chaparral offensive lineman Calvin Anderson. He does not have to make an announcement today. He'll have throughout the spring to make his decision. He's one of the top-rated offensive tackles and could provide immediate help for the Longhorns. How about this for a legacy, though, on the recruiting trail? Fort Worth All Saints outside linebacker Luke Brockermeyer has chosen a preferred walk-on spot with the Horns instead of a guaranteed full ride from Rice and Oak State. Brockermeyer also an option at tight end, but certainly, yes, the son of former Texas offensive lineman Blake Brockermeyer. Much more on National Signing Day coming up. NBA, don't look now, but Houston Rockets just a game back of Golden State for first place in the Western Conference. James Harden scored 36 last night. Rockets beat down Brooklyn 123-113. That's five straight wins for Houston. Meanwhile, the Warriors have dropped three out of four. They got beat by Oklahoma City last night, 125-105 in Oakland. Russell Westbrook, Paul George combined for 72 in that game. Another embarrassing loss for the Cleveland Cavs last night. They led lowly Orlando by as many as 21 and 16 at the half, but managed only 31 second-half points. That included a whopping 9 in the fourth quarter. They lost to the Magic 116-98. The soap opera continues. They've dropped 14 of 21. Another massive injury for the league last night is New York Knicks lost to Milwaukee and lost All-Star Kristaps Porzingis for the year. Landed awkwardly and tore the ACL in his left knee. College hoops last night, not a dominant performance, but a big win for Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. They held off TCU 71-64. Jayhawks take over sole possession of first place in the Big 12 at 8-3. Devontae Graham scored 24. Texas Tech, by the way, can equal that 8-3 mark tonight in Lubbock. They host Iowa State. Longhorns in the mix. They got a big game tonight, looking to stay hot. Welcoming K-State to the Irwin Center tonight. Shaka Smart's Horns have won 3 out of 4. They'd like to keep it rolling.
We want to try to get the ball going downhill as much as we can. That's what helped us down the stretch against Oklahoma. Kansas State, actually, as a defensive team, is one of the best in the country at taking the ball away from you, stealing the ball. So we got to do a good job protecting the basketball and keep from having turnovers that again, turn into great opportunities for them on offense.
6:30 pregame tonight, 7 o'clock tip right here on the Horns, the Horns and Wildcats. Stunner in the NFL, where yesterday morning the Indianapolis Colts announced that they had hired Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel to be their new head coach. By last night, the Colts were without a coach as Josh McDaniel changed his mind, spurned the Colts to remain in New England. Patriots owner Robert Kraft sweetened his deal back in New England. He's going to stay coaching offense for Bill Belichick, and that's the news.
Reliable Automotive is giving Horn listeners free alignment checks and $49.95 alignment service. Just ask for the Horn Special. Reliable Automotive. Keep it local. Keep it reliable.
All right, there you go. There you go. Busy.
Yeah, the Colts are going to be looking at Coach Schwartz, right? If they keep it up, they're going to Philadelphia. He's been a head
Frank
coach
Reich.
Before.
Or, well, you got to have someone to rev
somebody
up.
Somebody has to coach your group, and somebody has to rev up the offense. You're right. You can't have a defensive coach with the Colts if your quarterback's okay.
That's sloppy for them and certainly not good. But it's shades of, and this is why this immediately draws the comparisons, because it's somewhat ironic that the two Bills, the 30 for 30 on Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, was just out last week. Remember the story when the Giants, New York Giants, with Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick as his D coordinator, won the Super Bowl in 1990. And right after the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick took the Browns job. And a couple of months later, Bill Parcells left the Giants with some type of heart issue. And it was common knowledge that if that had happened in real time, Belichick would have just taken over in New York. You wonder if there is something going on with Bill Belichick that maybe he called McDaniel and said, look,
I'm not doing this very much longer.
I'm about to walk on this deal.
Yeah.
This thing's about over. So maybe even this offseason, if I don't get what I'm
trying
to hear what I want to hear from Robert Kraft, you might want to stick. And you can still have Tom Brady, and here comes Greg Schiano and the rest of the staff. And we'll see. We'll see. That's all the soap opera stuff and the speculation that comes. And obviously in Indianapolis, they're concerned about the health of their quarterback, Andrew Luck, because some wonder if McDaniel got cold feet because he didn't get the assurances he wanted on the long-term health of the star quarterback there. All right, let's dive into the Coach's Corner on National Signing Day.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Oh, yeah, it is the Coach's Corner. Excited to bring to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline a very familiar voice on these airwaves. You hear him all the time with Chad and Kevin, with Rod Babers in the afternoon. But on National Signing Day, just after 7 o'clock, we've got to bring in Jeff Howe from Horns 247, covering the Longhorns beat. What's up, Jeff?
Guys, I come bearing good news. The first fax is in. Mike Williams from the Dunham School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has faxed his letter of intent into Texas, so he's the first one in today. This kid is a freak athlete. You talk about Texas needing help along the defensive line. They're getting it with Mike Williams, 6'3", about 260 pounds, and there's a YouTube clip of him playing quarterback for his high school at 260 pounds, going about 99 yards for a touchdown. So this guy's bringing in a lot of athleticism to that D-line room.
There you go, Mike Williams. And Jeff, we'll get into some of the guys that can make some immediate impact on this class, and there's a bunch of guys already on campus who signed before Christmas. But it does appear that there's a good number of all these guys are long-term guys, but know, guys that may take a couple years, but this staff is certainly looking long-term. That a guy like Ojomo from Katy and Mike Williams, who played quarterback, now moving to defensive end, but they've got the sturdy frame, they've got the athletic feet and body. The kid from Cy Woods, Christian Jones. I mean, these are guys that a couple years from now in the weight room, a redshirt year, they can be, you know, impactful players.
Yeah, I like, you know, you mentioned Christian Jones. He's a guy that I like a lot on the offensive line, you know, 6'5", 6'6", about 290 pounds. He's got some length, some athleticism to him. He's got some natural bend. I think anytime you got a big kid like that, you got to make him less of a waist bender, more of a knee bender. But, yeah, kids like that, and it's a healthy thing to have a lot of kids like that in your program. I know, you know, people want the immediate impact fix, but, you know, you look at your JUCO guys, you know, Mikey Grandy, somebody like that's going to be an instant impact guy. You're hoping if you land Calvin Anderson, which Texas I think is in a really good spot for him, he'll be an instant impact guy. But when you're turning the roster over like Tom Herman is, and, you know, it's kind of frustrating for Texas fans because Charlie Strong went through this process a few years ago. You got to turn the roster over. You got to get guys that you think can help you win championships into this thing and get them in the pipeline and get them developed. But, you know, yeah, I like where Texas is getting developmental bodies. They're getting them along the offensive line, and they're getting them along the defensive line. Guys that you're probably not going to hear anything from for 2 or 3 years down the road, but you look at the way Clemson's doing it, the way Alabama's doing it, the way Georgia's starting to do it. That's how you get yourself in a position to win championships, is when you've got guys 2 or 3 years into your program, and then you're unleashing them after you get them on a meal plan, get them in strength conditioning, and then you're ready to go.
Jeff Howe is with us, and we'll talk about some of the pending guys coming. As he said, Mike Williams, the first fax in this morning, and we'll have updates as they happen. But what about Moro Ojomo from Katy? He's another guy. He's only 16 years old, Jeff. I mean, this is a kid who's going to enroll at 17. I mean, should still be in high school. That's a guy that, but boy, really came on in his senior year. Texas jumped on him. He's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, he's one of the fastest rising prospects in the state. You know, when we did our updated state rankings at 24/7 Sports, we made him a 4-star prospect. And part of that is, a lot of that is to do with his upside. And I think the Texas staff, I think you'll hear Tom Herman talk about this today in the press conference, I think they see him a little bit like they see someone like Chris Nelson, a guy that, yeah, probably could play closer to the ball, but you're looking at someone that's more of a 3 technique, kind of that 4-eye shade in an odd front that can rush the passer and give you some athleticism and versatility. And you go to these defensive linemen, I think that's the key with this class. You've got versatility. You know, obviously, Keandre Coburn's the guy that we're going to be monitoring all morning, and he should be signing his letter of intent, hopefully for everybody listening, hopefully to Texas here about the next 45 minutes. But, you know, he's your zero tech nose. You know what he is, but everybody else, you know, Moro Ojomo, Mike Williams, already talked about Daniel Carson, the kid from Missouri. Those are kids that bring you some versatility. And when you're running that odd front like Todd Orlando wants, and I think you're going to see that dime package that Texas used, I think you're going to continue to see that be their predominant package on defense. You've got to have guys that can give you some versatility, play multiple shades up front, and that's what they've got with some of these defensive line signings. Moro Ojomo definitely being one of those guys.
All right, let's start with the headlines of guys who are the Longhorns will be waiting on a fax, and that's, you said it, Keandre Coburn from Houston Westfield, Keontae Ingram from Carthage, running back, defensive tackle, both could have signed in the early period but didn't, and that has led to a lot of angst in Longhorn land. What do you think about both of those guys today?
Yeah, the Keandre Coburn commitment, that's been one of those kind of weird ones. He's flirted with TCU, Miami, and Texas A&M. Took a visit down to Miami a couple of weeks ago. Was supposed to visit Texas this weekend. Didn't end up making it. And everything we've heard is that he's going to sign with Texas. EJ Holland, our recruiting editor, is actually down at Westfield High School this morning. And he'll be there to see if that LOI gets faxed into Texas again. That he should be signing at the top of the hour, so we'll see if that comes into Texas. But everything we've heard suggests that he's going to sign with Texas this morning. Keontae Ingram, I don't think there's anything to worry about. Last night we heard there was nothing to worry about. He's going to sign with Texas. You know, he made the surprise visit down to Texas A&M. But you talk about the importance of these two guys. If everything holds to form and they do end up signing with Keandre Coburn, you've got a guy playing that nose tackle who can play over the ball, who can come in and give you reps right away. And then Keontae Ingram, if Texas needs to get more dynamic at running back, and I think he's a guy that definitely makes you that, and he's a guy that's a 3-down running back that comes in and makes that room instantly better the minute he steps on campus. So, yeah, the bottom line is Texas is expecting to get LOIs from both of those guys, and unless something completely unforeseen happened overnight, we're expecting both of those guys to sign today.
Jeff Howe is with us, horns247.online. Of course, Jeff is on Twitter, at Jeff Howe, with an E, H-O-W-E. 247. Jeff's okay. Keyontae Ingram would be the one running back of this class. If you get Keandre Coburn, who you just said you feel like it's still going to be a Texas guy, that gives you on the defensive front two defensive tackles and the two defensive ends you mentioned, Williams and Carson. What about this kid, Joseph Osai from Conroe Oak Ridge, a one-time Aggie commitment, but with the coaching change, it opened it up. Longhorns are feeling good about him. What kind of versatility does Osai bring if Longhorns were to land him?
Yeah, you think back to last year at this time, and Texas missed on Kalavon Chaisson, a kid out of Galena Park North Shore, who's a five-star prospect.
Yeah.
I don't think Osai's as fast twitch, quite as athletic as Chaisson, but you're looking at a kid at 6'4", 220, can be that B-backer, that outside linebacker that Texas needs to really make your fronts multiple and versatile. He's a pure pass rusher. And you look defensively, that's something that Texas really didn't have this year. For as good as that defense was, I think they're still looking for that guy, a B-backer. You think back to when Todd Orlando was at Houston, and he had that guy in Tyus Bowser that on third down, everybody knew where that guy was. The offense knew they needed to block that guy, and the defense knew they could turn that guy loose and send them after the quarterback. Joseph Osai is going to bring that pass rush presence. You look at his last two varsity seasons at Oak Ridge, playing in a really good district, 16.5 sacks, 25 tackles for loss. Tremendous length. I think the body's going to grow. He's going to develop to where he could, again, bring you a lot of different versatility, maybe to play as a pass rush in a four-down look and be a stand-up guy. But, yeah, Joseph Osai, if he signs with Texas, and he's dropping actually a commitment video at 9 a.m., and then he'll sign his letter later this morning, I'm expecting it to be Texas. And he really, if you look at his defensive line class, this was the biggest question mark, the biggest area of concern for Texas coming out of that early period, is could they find enough quality bodies in what was not a very good year in-state along the defensive front. You look and see the guys that got out of state, but getting a fast riser like Moro Ajomo, and then a guy in Joseph Osai, who they've had on their board for a long time. And I think you can kind of thank Texas A&M for this, kind of dragging their feet on making a defensive coordinator hire. They got a good one with Mike Elko, but in the time where A&M didn't have a defensive coordinator hired, that's when Texas made their surge. And credit Oscar Giles for getting in there. Credit Brian Carrington for the time when he was on the road. He and Oscar Giles went and made an in-home visit. That's when Texas really made their surge for Joseph Osai. So, yeah, he's really the missing piece with this defensive line class in terms of getting that guy who specializes in getting after the quarterback.
Osai would give Texas five defensive linemen in this class plus five offensive linemen. And as we said, I'm waiting on the graduate transfer, Calvin Anderson from Rice, would give you six on the offensive line if that were to come to pass. What about this kid, Andrew Parker, Jeff, from New Orleans? He's a Arkansas commitment, but apparently Todd Orlando has jumped on him here late, trying to really go after another key player at his position. What's the Andrew Parker story?
Yeah, Texas needs inside linebacker depth in a bad way. You look at their situation right now going into spring ball. They feel good about Gary Johnson and Anthony Wheeler, but behind them, there's really not much to speak of in terms of depth. I think Deli Adaway, who's on campus right now, I think he's going to have to come in and give Texas something right away, just in terms of a guy who can maybe give you a couple reps right off the bat. And Texas targeted Andrew Parker, was committed to Arkansas. Texas offers him. He makes his official visit to Texas recently, and everything was going great. And we were expecting actually a flip to go down a couple of days ago. It didn't, and the latest we heard is that Andrew Parker, a kid out of New Orleans, was pretty torn in between, does he stick with Arkansas, does he sign with Texas, and Ole Miss is a school that's gotten in late on him, so really he's got three choices that he's mulling over. This was expected to be a slam dunk for Texas, not so much anymore, but you know, if Texas wins out, I think it's that chance to maybe play early, and if you're a linebacker coming in, and keep in mind with your linebackers, not only in terms of depth behind Gary Johnson and Anthony Wheeler, but your linebackers, more often than not, they're your core special teams guys. They're going to fill out a lot of your kick team units. And Andrew Parker, I think, is a guy that can do that for Texas at 6'2", 225 pounds. Again, you know, New Orleans, Baton Rouge is one of those areas that I'm all for. If you can go get you some athletes out of that part of the country, more often than not, you're going to hit on those guys. And I love the fact that Tom Herman isn't afraid to go into LSU's backyard and try to find them a couple of guys every year out of that New Orleans, Baton Rouge area. So Andrew Parker is one of those guys, but I think right now, as of this morning, he's still torn on that decision. Does he flip from Arkansas? Does he sign with Texas? And then I think Ole Miss getting in late has really kind of thrown a monkey wrench into the plans Texas had for him.
Jeff Howe is with us with a signing day update. One fax, or maybe more already in, but Mike Williams in. What about the two wide receivers that apparently Texas is still in the mix for? Tommy Bush out of Schertz Clemens and Lawrence Keys out of where you just mentioned, New Orleans, Louisiana. Are those guys possible Texas guys today or thinking elsewhere?
Yeah, it's looking right now like Tommy Bush. As of last night, everything I heard is that Georgia was making a late push and Georgia looking like they're going to be the pick. The interesting thing with Georgia is this. Georgia's going to be in the mix for a lot of guys, and they had a great early signing period. Kirby Smart's got a chance to finish with the number one class in the country, and I think Texas has kind of locked themselves into the top three at least. Does Georgia have room to take Tommy Bush? If they do, I think Tommy Bush ends up at Georgia. If not, it sounds like Baylor might be the number two pick. You know, I think for Texas, even with Tommy Bush, I think as you got later in the process and you realized you had a couple of spots open, I think it just became, hey, this kid's just too good to pass up. Yes, you've got, you know, Brennan Eagles on campus. You've got Alvante Woodard signed. You've got Joshua Moore committed, who's going to sign today. Three really good receivers, and you've got receivers on campus. But this kid was just too good of a talent to pass up. Texas made a really good push, ended up getting him on campus for an unofficial visit following his official visit to Baylor. But as of right now, on Tommy Bush, I'm leaning towards thinking it's going to be Georgia. With Lawrence Keys, Texas made a really good push late. I just think Notre Dame and the relationship Notre Dame was able to establish with him, and I think that's too much to overcome. So I think if you're looking at, you know, if you're going to look at this class at the end of the day as something Texas really wanted to get that I think they're not going to get at the end of the day today, I think it's a true bona fide slot receiver. I think that's one position where they're going to go into this 2019 cycle really still looking for that guy. When you think about what Tom Herman had at Ohio State with a guy like Philly Brown, what he had at Houston with a guy like DeMarcus Ayers, I think they're still looking for that dynamic difference maker in the slot. They were hoping it was going to be Lawrence Keys, but it's looking right now like he's heading to Notre Dame.
Tom Herman news conference at 2 o'clock today to recap everything that goes down this morning. It's signing day part two. Longhorns could have a class as many as 30. Any other guys I haven't mentioned, Jeff, that you think could drop the burnt orange way today, or did I run through most of them?
Yeah, you ran through just about all of them, so props to you for that. You know, another interesting kid is Vernon Jackson, this kid out of Bowling from Southeast Texas, kind of that Gulf Coast area. He's a kid that was long committed to Alabama, actually decommitted from Alabama last night. He's not going to sign with the Crimson Tide. It's going to come down to Texas or Texas A&M. And you know, our sources on the Texas side think the Longhorns are very much in this thing. And you talk about adding another kid on defense that brings you versatility. Vernon Jackson, the kid, is 6'3", 240. He was playing quarterback for his high school team and took them to they were in the state championship game in 2016. So this is a kid that tremendous upside as an athlete. I think Texas sees him as an athlete on defense. Is that as an inside-outside linebacker, defensive lineman? I'm not sure that they really care. I think they just kind of – he's a guy that you get on campus and you figure it out later. But he's going to make his decision later this morning. It seems Texas A&M is kind of the popular pick for him, but it seems like Texas is still very much in it for Vernon Jackson. So Vernon Jackson is another piece that's out there for Texas. And they've got room in terms of total numbers. When you look at the 9 early enrollees on campus, the guys who signed early, the kids they're going to sign today, they've got room if they want to take this class size total, including adding Calvin Anderson, to 32 new guys entering the program before next fall. So they've got the numbers to take a kid like Vernon Jackson. And Oscar Giles, I think, has done a really good job to establish that relationship and keep Texas in that. But it's just going to determine, you know, again, it's a battle between Texas and Texas A&M. And I think Texas feels like they've done what they could, and they're going to let the chips fall where they may with Vernon Jackson today.
Jeff, great stuff as always. How can folks follow you guys over at 247? You guys are doing great work yourself and EJ and the crew. Easy to get to you?
Yeah, you definitely want to keep in touch with that Horns 24/7 Twitter account today, at Horns 247 on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Howe 247. At EJ Holland 247 is another account you're going to want to keep top of mind. EJ, like I said, he's at Spring Westfield High School this morning to see if Keandre Coburn gets that letter signed in. We've got some good free content if you're not a member of Horns 24/7 to keep you locked into signing day all day. So a lot of different ways you can keep tabs on what should be a really good day for Tom Herman in this program.
Jeff, you have the number. Call us back if something breaks. Shoot me a text, and we'll get it out there for folks. Appreciate you this morning.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff Howe, there you go, the very latest. Feels good about Keandre Coburn, the defensive tackle. His colleague is down there at Westfield High School. That'll be a morning commitment and announcement. Keontae Ingram, the Carthage running back, looking good as well. Someone texted during the middle of that interview, asked about did the Longhorns get the commitment from the Katy kid last night at 6? Yes, they did. Moro Ojomo from Katy. He picked Texas last night over Oklahoma. So should be an active day, and we've got it covered for you. We go local all day long, all the way to 2 o'clock, and the Tom Herman News Conference exclusively here on the Horn. So as we like to say, just lock it in. Just lock it in, whether you're listening on 104.9, on AM 1260, streaming us on the Horn app, or always at hornfm.com.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
All right, breaking news all morning long as we roll on this signing day for you college football junkies and recruiting Knicks. It is 7 February. It's going to be cold today, to say the least. Grab a jacket. 46 is the top out temperature. Cloudy skies and a 50% chance of rain throughout the day today. Not real pretty. Going to drop near freezing overnight. A little bit warmer tomorrow, and it'll warm up as we get closer to the weekend, but the cloudy conditions and and an overall cloud cover will continue throughout the rest of the week. But some breaking news in on the recruiting front. We just spoke to Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7. The first fax that came in this morning was from Mike Williams, a defensive end from New Orleans. He is now a signed commitment, making 20 for Texas. And over the break, got a text in from Jeff that one of the big concerns for Texas fans, Keandre Coburn, defensive tackle, Houston Westfield, in as a signed commitment for Texas. He was the kid that I think most fans were most worried about. He could have signed during the pre-Christmas early signing period, did not, took several visits through the January process, but stuck with his commitment and just wanted to go through the process, Buck, to make certain.
Yeah, and hopefully the running backs will be in right after that.
Yeah, Keontae Ingram, and that's one that Jeff said as of last night, it was all good on the burnt orange front for Texas. So up to 21 signed commitments for Texas, waiting on more letters of intent, always fun, always interesting. Texas could get as many as 30, 32. Right now I have Texas on mine because I have my board. It's my little board right here.
The handy-dandy board.
My board that I've created. I have 26 verbal or signed commitments for Texas with Moro Ojomo last night becoming.
And of course, there's always somebody out there who will tell you that you're incorrect.
That's right. That's fine.
But that's all right.
Do they have a board?
They probably don't have a board. They're probably not sitting in front of a board right now.
I have a board.
You know, they probably have
the big board.
Austin American Statesman in front of them.
I have two quarterbacks, 5-0 line, one running back, three wide receivers, a tight end, two defensive tackles, two defensive ends, two linebackers, six DBs, and then two specialists. That's 26.
Yeah, so you're correct. I mean,
forget about Brockermeyer. Are you throwing him on there, even though he's not a Scully?
Luke is a preferred walk-on.
That doesn't count.
No, kind of like Breckenhager back in the day.
Right.
I think. Did Brecken come in as a gray shirt or a preferred walk-on? I don't remember. We talked to Britt yesterday. But Brecken's turned into a heck of a player. And I think those.
And in his senior year, he should be just out of his mind.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of expectation he can have a big year this year for Brecken. And those Hagers can play football, that's for sure. You know, Luke Brockermeyer, who you coached, you were on the staff when his father was there, Blake Brockermeyer.
Very good at the counter.
Very good at the counter.
That guy could pull. And when we had to pull that backside guy, he could get it for a big guy.
His son, now his father played at Texas too. So this is a three-generation legacy of Texas football for
Luke. I'm feeling really old now. You know, every time I look back there and there's BK there, I'm thinking, you know what? It's almost over. I'm on the back.
Oh, no.
It is, dude. I'm on the back end.
It's just a number.
No.
Okay.
The older you get, the closer you are to death.
How old's your father right now?
He's 86.
Okay, and still going.
Well, yeah, in a walker and can't hear and.
Well, so
Pete,
he never got his knees rebuilt like you did. You had your
knee
rebuilt.
I've been built. I've been rebuilt.
You're going to rebuild your other knee at some point. Maybe your shoulder. You'll have all kinds of stuff in you. I don't know.
I don't want to do the shoulder deal.
Don't do that then.
No.
But yeah, I mean, you. Let's just
see. I know what you're trying to do. Trying to set this up for you because you want to live to be like 120.
No. You always get that wrong. You got the wrong word. I don't want to live. I'm planning to possibly live to be well over 100 because I think in time people will live longer. I'm only 45. I think you have a chance. You're only 62. You could live 40 more years.
Huh?
That's a long time. It's twice as old as BK.
Yeah, but will I still be producing, if you know what I mean?
You're saying you're producing now?
There are pills for that.
Yeah, call our man Urakakiyev. He'll take care of you.
He'll take care of me.
Where's Dr.
Urakakiyev? At like 97.
Hey, Bring it, man. Hugh Hefner was bringing it up to the end.
Doesn't matter to me. I'll use two popsicle sticks and some tape if I have to. Well, I will. If I have to.
Tape?
Well, just, you know, how you, if you hurt your finger, you put the two popsicle sticks and put
splint?
The tape. Yeah, if I have to make a splint, I will.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Your sock puppet?
Of course I would. Kid me? Anything.
I might go a little differently.
I use a lot of tape then. And gauze.
Hey, whatever keeps you young, my friend.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, you got plenty of time. Plenty of time. No, yes, it does age you a little bit, or at least make you pause when you hear Luke Brockermeyer. But look, as I said, just silly stories of college. I mean, I went to college at the same time Blake Brockermeyer
I know.
Did.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Went to keg parties with Dan Neal and those guys. And so I have kids that age. I mean, that makes me feel older. When I look up and my kid's 19, I'm going to take my daughter tomorrow to go get her driver's permit.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, those are things that just mark time and it happens, but it's just a number. It's just time. Enjoy every day. Carpe diem, my friend.
Oh, no, I do enjoy every day.
Yeah, you do that.
Oh, I don't miss out on that.
Most anybody.
Yeah, I'm not missing out on that part for sure.
With you on that. All right, so there's a little wisdom from the Buck. Popsicle sticks and tape.
Was that wisdom?
Well,
and gauze. Don't forget the gauze.
Wisdom is subjective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to use the gauze. You can't just go in there, tape around the popsicle sticks.
What
you
type
put some
of
gauze.
Tape? Now, this is important. I mean, it can't be like electrical tape.
No, it's got to be the stuff that the pre-wrap. You know what I mean? Kind of you put the pre-wrap on before. Remember in the old days, they used to tape right on your ankles back in the day?
Ooh,
they
like the white tag?
Oh, God, yes. Then they used to rip that stuff off of you. Then they had pre-wrap, and pre-wrap was really, really soft. And so you just put some pre-wrap around that thing, and then you don't use the white tape anymore. You use there's like a pre-tape that they even put on before you tape now. That'll work. It's very soft and flexible.
Yeah, it's got some give to it.
And it's got a little give to it.
You don't want to use duct tape. That will hurt removal.
No.
Removing.
But if anything goes at that age.
Pull the whole thing off. Hey, this says Texas can sign a winged Pegasus, and LSU will still stomp them in 19. Hashtag Texas soft. Go Tigers.
Oh, that game is coming up here soon, isn't it?
LSU talking trash.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, tomorrow on the show, Jerry Hamilton will be with us, and we'll talk national perspective, and we'll ask about LSU's class. And, you know, we're talking a lot of Texas today because it's Austin, Texas, but OU, Lincoln Riley's doing a hell of a job in his first year with his class. Gary Patterson at TCU is putting together a heck of a class in Fort Worth. So we'll get some updates on
that. You know what? That Fort Worth area has just been so good to him and TCU.
They're having their best class.
And they know how to recruit that area. They know exactly the kind of player that they want. You know what I mean?
I mean, Gary Patterson's been the best or among the best developers of players in college football
for the last decade. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if he's a two-star. They develop their players. They just do. He knows how to do that. No, not plumbing tape. You can't do that. Don't read some of that stuff, no.
This guy called you RoboCop with a CK.
Yeah, great. That's wonderful. Just wonderful.
Gary's having a great year. Lincoln Riley, I mean, that's a debate, right? Bob Stoops walks out. Can you still recruit at a high level? And Oklahoma, of course, played for the Final Four, and we're in the mix. So Lincoln Riley having a good run at Norman. So we'll get the national perspective tomorrow once the dust settles. Follow it closely this morning with the Longhorns. So far, Mike Williams, the kid. I was told yesterday by some folks at Texas that the Mike Williams thing, the kid from New Orleans, Louisiana, the 260-pound quarterback who's going to be a defensive lineman at Texas, that they were worried. He had planned to have his signing day press conference like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tom Herman had already announced his press conference as 2. And they said, they're like, well, maybe we can get him to move it a little bit because they didn't want to have to wait for Mike.
Sure.
But, so he's already in. He was first one. So I guess whatever they said worked. Mike Williams was the first fax in this morning. He can still have that celebration and signing day ceremony this afternoon. But that's in. And Keandre Coburn is in. We'll keep you posted as they happen with the Longhorns adding as many as 30, 31, maybe 32 new players into the program. Quite an infusion of talent for
Tom
Herman.
You know what I say? Eventually, the talent will outweigh the coaching.
I know there's questions on offense, but I think the coaching staff's really good. I like what Todd Orlando does on defense, and I think the offensive staff, Herb Hand, I think was a big addition on the offensive line.
Until I see it, I will question this offensive staff until next year, and I think it's fair to say in year two, it's got to get better.
Sure does.
It's got to be buttoned up. It's got to be they got to know who their personnel is. You got to know what you're doing at the quarterback position, and it's fair to me. It was fair to criticize what I saw last year because I didn't understand it, and a lot of people didn't understand it. In year two, I think it'll be tightened, just like they tighten up what was happening on the sideline, just like they tighten up things on special teams. And they have special players now to help their special teams.
We will cover it all morning. BK, lead us through the hot or not issues of a Wednesday morning where it's not very hot outside, but BK is not feeling very well either. He's under the weather. We'll see if he can drag himself through hot or not next here on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
Oh, man. Texas fans have responded to the LSU emotional outburst on Twitter with some intellect that says, guys, that just goes to how LSU fans are that dumb. A Pegasus is already a winged horse. Saying winged Pegasus is like saying ATM machine. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Fight back with intellect. I like that. That would also be like saying frozen tundra. That always bothers me because tundra is by definition frozen.
How's Easy Ed's wall coming?
Easy Ed.
Down in Louisiana.
Oh, Ed Orgeron?
Yeah, because remember, he's building that wall around the whole state.
Well,
did we
sneak
in there? We snuck in there and got one, right?
It's you with the we. Yeah, no, I mean, they've got Mike Williams from New Orleans.
Thank you.
He's a Texas commitment this morning. And there are four commitments already in for Texas as we follow the big board. Gotta love the big board. But the big guys are in early with Keandre Coburn, the big defensive tackle, 335 out of Westfield High School. Moro Ojomo's letter of intent is in. Mike Williams' letter of his intent is in this morning. So they're up to four. We'll count them as they come in. BK, what do you have, my friend?
Did you say Ed Orgeron, a.k.a. Ray Pape? Love
big,
Ed.
Big Corona!
Ray Pape.
I do not recommend.
My God.
That's him right there, man. That's Ed O.
It's your boy.
All right, boys. Today is February 7th, 2018. A great day for you guys. I know we love this on this show. National Girls and Women in Sports Day.
Ooh.
Who said we do?
I love it.
What do you mean?
I'm all for it.
You're not a fan of Title IX, Buck?
I am a fan of Title IX.
What about girls and women in sports?
I'm a fan of Title IX. Which sports? I'm getting ready. Do you know the opening ceremonies is tomorrow for the Winter Olympics? You know, ice skating and figure skating starts off tomorrow night.
It's one of your five favorite sports.
Yes.
The Olympics already tomorrow? Seriously?
Yes.
I feel like I haven't heard about it at all.
Well, haven't you been watching the Year of the Woman? It's all over the place. Didn't you see the Super Bowl? They had like 50,000 ads.
Women fight back a little bit?
Yeah, they're throwing the punches. They're throwing the uppercuts this year.
It actually starts Friday.
Or it does?
The night.
But the skating, but the figure skating actually starts tonight.
In Pyeongchang.
South Korea.
Pyeongchang or Pyongyang?
Chang. Well,
I've heard of both. Kind of like tomato, tomato. Pyongyang.
Okay.
You know, that's where they'll be.
It's also National Fettuccine Alfredo Day today, boys. I'm going to get you off the rails a little bit. What's the favorite pasta dish? You got to pick one pasta dish you can live on.
Lasagna.
Meat? You going meat?
Meat, for sure.
Yeah, of course.
I think a nice ziti or lasagna is one, too.
Only your fluffies over there would have meatless lasagna.
I'm not
right.
Eating no meatless lasagna.
You're going meat, right?
That's Trey, man. He's one of your people.
I would get down with a veggie lasagna.
You would?
Yeah, maybe you have an option.
Oh, I have lasagna then. Just
veggies
go get yourself
good.
A salad. Have salad.
I like salad too.
No,
I'm down with salad.
I love the meat and the juice of the meat coming like on through the sides of that thing.
I would prefer
with the cheese.
A meat lasagna, but I can get down with a veggie.
I'm still looking and I still keep asking. I get a lot of those. This is the best place to get Italian lasagna. Still looking for that one that just knocks you off your feet. You know, the one you just want to take the whole loaf of bread and just slap it on top of that thing.
Dude, just go to HEB and get one of them Stouffer's.
Or would you stop it with the Stouffer's? I'm not eating that stuff. Oh, doesn't Marie Callender have all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, man.
Mary Callender's.
Oh, man, making a good lasagna, that's always fun to do. But National Fettuccine. I'm not the biggest fan of the cream sauce pastas. I will say that.
No, I'm not either.
I'm more of a red sauce guy, the marinara.
I like clams in my pasta, too. A little clam sauce, a little baby clams in there.
You are a bean towner.
I am a beaner. You're
clam.
Right. I am.
You're what?
I am a bean towner.
All right, there you go.
Lived a lot of years there.
In Boston, bean town.
Make sure you include that. All right, guys, story of the day, Josh McDaniels. It all looked like it was set in stone. He was going to become the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Then by the end of last night, he spurned the job, will stay as the OC to New England. What do you guys think this is? Is this a coach-in-waiting type deal with the Pats? Is this Andrew Luck's shoulder might be worse than we thought. What do you think the lowdown is on this McDaniels deal?
I think it's coach in waiting, and why should he run off to somewhere where he's not sure about the quarterback when he can stay there? And if Robert Kraft has given him that, listen, over the next couple of years, you're going to be the head coach of the New England Patriots. I mean, those are big shoes to fill, but I'd stick around if you gave me a pay hike and Tom Brady was playing for the next 3 years, you know?
Well, here's what's so much shady about this whole thing is that McDaniels had already begun agreeing to coaches on his coaching staff, and they were blindsided yesterday.
Oh, now that hurts. Too.
Oh, yeah. There were guys that had been retained from the old staff and guys that had been expecting to have a job.
That sucks. That's no good.
Yeah. I mean, that's why this is so bizarre. This is, you know, Josh McDaniels could have shut this down a long time ago. He's trying to put it out there that Robert Kraft never made him an offer to stay, and that's what he was waiting on, and it finally came after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're messing with guys' livelihoods and their families and telling them to stay, at least stay in your house.
Well, I mean, that was the worst-kept secret in the world, that Patricia was going to Detroit and he was going to Indianapolis. He could have said at any moment, you know, he could have sat down with Robert Kraft before then and said, look, I don't really want to go here, which is why I bring back into the Andrew Luck thing, that, you know, how, you know, when they sat down to do the final, let's sign this baby, And Josh McDaniels said, look, I need to see the medicals on Andrew Luck. What's the very, very latest on this quarterback? And if it wasn't, and they maybe didn't, the answers weren't what he wanted to hear.
Did I see a false statement by somebody on Twitter about Andrew Luck, or is that from Andrew Luck saying they're spying on us, and that was a no-good deal done by Josh McDaniels that he did to our team?
Ooh,
there's a good possibility Andrew Luck has already tweeted out something about
that
deal.
Well, because remember, it was the Colts in the AFC Championship game several years ago that led to Deflategate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Colts that turned in then this could be the...
The payback?
The payback.
No, no. No, because he's not spying
the
on
Belichick
you, Colts.
Belichick payback.
It sounds like
man.
Andrew Luck said that he's spying on
that
them. Dude, they don't need to spy on you guys.
That is high crimes and misdemeanors. That is cloak and dagger stuff right there. McDaniels stuck it to him. Hey, guess what? Take this knife in your back on my way
that
out.
That is a knife.
How you like that? You'll see it. We'll pick it up on the other side. National Signing Day.